Convene the Finance Committee. We don't quite have a quorum, but the way we've been proceeding lately is we will have members or authors present their bill and then just wait until we have a quorum to take action on it. Representative Mariani is one of the authors present, so Representative Mariani, if you would like to be first on the agenda, and then if we don't have a quorum after you're done, if you can just remain until we have one, just in case there would be questions at the time of the motion. So we'll make no motions at this point, and if you can just tell us about the bill, and then we'll take questions from the members present and put it on hold if we don't have a quorum.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. House Bill 501, basically creates an alternative path to a high school diploma for students unable to pass the MCA2 grad math test. Some of you probably kept up with some of the news in regards to our potential outcome with that, with thousands of students that otherwise would be graduating, possibly not graduating, and receiving their diploma next year. This will create an alternative pathway which requires a minimum of 2 retakes of the test. If they don't pass it, in fact, these students took this test just this last month, would require participation in remediation courses. And then if the students are otherwise eligible to graduate, in other words, they meet all the other high school graduation requirements, the school district can then confer a diploma for the student. The provision is sunsetted out in about 5 years. We also suspend the current grad test at that time. It is the intent and the hope that in that period of time, all the parties interested will come up with a more effective alternative to this particular assessment. There's also a group that is charged to the Office of Education Accountability to do a exploration discovery process of what that alternative can look like. The fiscal note, members, is prepared by the department, and I think we have people here from the Department of Ed that can help clarify further. Basically, says that there's current modification going on in their systems of tracking graduation status. They would then assign 0.5 FTE to track this particular graduation alternative pathway and the status of that over the course of the next 2 years. So they have a upfront $39,000 value that they ascribe to that 0.5 FTE, and then an ongoing $19,000 per year afterwards. This bill went through K-12 finance. It is the assumption and the expectation of the K-12 finance members that the department will simply absorb this cost. It seems reasonable to me, given that, in fact, the department is in the process of tracking graduation status and developing systems to do that. So, Mr. Chair, that, in a nutshell, is the bill.
Okay, there are questions of Representative Mariani. Representative Mariani, we still don't have a quorum, so if you can just remain, and then we'll... excuse me, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mariani, so the real issue here, though, is that we're going to be... Is this lowering the standards or changing how the same standards are being met?
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, members, this bill does not affect the standards that are currently in place. They remain the same. This bill simply creates an alternative way in which students can obtain a high school diploma if they're unable to pass the single high stakes exam that attempts to measure student success in this area. The teachers in the school district is authorized under this provision to ascertain after the student is required to retest several times to ascertain the student's competency against the standards, and after they make that determination, they'll then confer a diploma or not confer a diploma.
Representative Martin. Okay, any further discussion? We do now have a quorum. Representative Greiling, if you would move the division report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I move the K-12 Education Finance Division Report for House File 501, the first committee in Grossman.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House File 501, the first committee in Grossman, be recommended pass and placed on the general register.
Okay, motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Representative Mariani. I see Representative Dill is here. We'll now revert to House File 1132, Timber Sales. This is a bill that we passed out the other day. I hadn't yet signed the committee report, so the bill is still in the possession of the committee. So I'll move we reconsider House File 1132, the second committee engrossment as amended. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The chair moves that House File 1132, the second committee engrossment as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And Representative Dill has an amendment, and the chair moves the amendment. And Representative Dill, if you would explain the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as the chair said, this bill had previously passed this committee, remained in possession. And the amendment that you have before you, the DE2 amendment, is the what was the contents of House File 1238, left the Paymire amendment. That Representative Paymire put on the bill a few days ago, forget the exact day, and some technical provisions that the DNR had in the bill, as well as an item of Representative Holberg, which I've discussed with her, that had to do with the use of firearms. And so with those exceptions, and nothing in the bill, nothing in the amendment changed any of the fiscal implications that are noted in the fiscal note for House File 1238. So we've discussed those fiscal implications when we did take up House File 1238, and again, nothing has changed on those, and I'd be willing to answer any questions specifically to the delete all amendments.
And further, members, remember then the original bill, the game and fish bill, was withdrawn. So this would put the amendment then would put the bill in the form that the Game and Fish Bill came into the committee. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dill, does this include the amendment that Representative Ruka Bienas put on the road, on the school trust lands?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that I should stand corrected. Then it was as amended. In fact, that's what the motion was, that we
And so, Mr. Chair, the if you'll recall,
I'm trying to remember which one the Rukavina amendment went on. Was it on the timber sales one or the
it
other?
It was on the it was on the 696, which was the lands bill, and then at the end of the discussion, we incorporated. We took 1238, which was the game and fish bill. We took 1132 and 696 and incorporated them all into the game and fish, so we end up with game and fish, lands, and then the bill that's before you all in one package. And that is the bill that was then withdrawn. And so, therefore, the Rukavina amendment is on the bill.
Okay, Representative Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, that's a disappointment. And then since the Representative Paymar's amendment isn't on in here, or that's not included, then I assume that we're back to the original bill with the uncased gun provision. Representative Dill.
Representative Dill.
That is correct. We have, and that is correct. And it has the provision in it that Representative Hillstrom wanted in there when it went through public safety as well. So we haven't changed that either. And that is the 7-county metro exclusion. And that is where we're at.
Okay, any further discussion? Well, seeing none, then all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. I'll renew my motion then at House File 1132, the second committee engrossment, as amended, be recommended, pass, and re-referred to the committee on ways and means. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Okay, thank you, Representative. And we'll now which one did we remove, Norton?
Nine.
We will hear this one. Okay. 1276 is next, and members, Representative Norton requested that we withdraw for today and add to the agenda tomorrow House File 984. So that one will take up tomorrow, but we will take up 1276 by Representative Norton today. Is Representative Huntley here? No, so the chair moves the Health Care and Human Service Finance Division report for House File 1276, First Committee Engrossment. All those, or any discussion? All those in favor then signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The chair moves that House File 1276, the First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the General Registrar. Representative Norton, if you'd explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd be happy to. This is a compilation of a variety of different county mandates due to the tough fiscal year that we have ahead and the anticipation by counties that they'll have to be tightening their belts. In all areas of government, I think we looked at ways we could lighten the load for counties, and so this is an effort to do that. I can quickly go over sections 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 of the bill have to do with allowing voluntary placements for children needing services to be in a state, a bordering state, if their city happens to be right on the border and the institution is or the facility is closer to them, that might be in Iowa, Wisconsin, North or South Dakota, than someplace we have available space for them in this state, that that would be possible, and the state has weighed in on this, and we've amended it so that everyone is happy. We have some provisions, probably the most talked about and controversial part of this bill are sections 4 and 10, which historically, when we have indigent patients in the state has picked up funeral costs if they don't have assets to cover those. This is adding cremation to the list of possible services. It has been amended since it started several times, and this has been agreed to by the Catholic Diocese and the Jewish community as well, who looked it over carefully and made amendments in the last committee to meet their needs, and I think we all agreed on that. There are some minor changes, as you'll see, on caseworker visits and foster care in the health care portion of the bill. There are some changes in law for incontinent residents, resident positioning, and medication reminders. Again, these went through the health care committees and are minor changes that everyone has agreed to. There's some provisions for home health aides. And you'll see at the end there's a repealer, and the repealer is some rules. And what we've done is put in statute now, which would negate the need for the rule, so that's why you see the repealer at the end. In the healthcare section 8, it has to do with school districts and charter schools being informed about free and reduced price lunch students getting healthcare. We added, it was kind of getting onerous, and so we have hopefully made this a little easier. We've lightened some of the requirements for them, but added some requirements that they put things online, should they have access to online, and we believe most districts do. And then section 10 is important to the unions. This is allowing political subdivisions to provide health care benefits, and they currently can't do that. So, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy, or there are people in the audience that would be happy to answer any questions, but I think we are finally to a non-controversial bill that will lighten the load for counties and not affect the state in any way financially.
Okay, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Norton, can you remind me about the payments to bordering states? The payment rate is no greater than the payment rate that would be paid to somebody locally. How does that work again?
Representative Norton.
Looking at the notes here, which says it allows reimbursement for fee for service, pay a fee for service basis for services provided in ordering states. And I find the fee portion. Yeah, we have someone here that can answer that.
If you could identify,
almost
went over backwards. You can identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Don Allen. I'm with the Department of Human Services.
You hear the question.
The question from Representative Broad was regarding the payment and how does that work. Payment rates for these facilities are set by a negotiated county contract. What's at issue here in this bill is whether or not counties will be able to get some federal financial participation through the Medicaid program for the treatment portion of the cost of these facilities. Currently, we use state licensing standards to govern which are eligible facilities in this case, and that limits the federal reimbursement to in-state facilities. The language in this bill would allow us to extend that to some out-state facilities as well in bordering states. And so for obviously supporting communities, that allows them in some cases to provide care in a facility that's actually closer to where the child lives in the first place.
Thank you. And Mr. Allen, I'm just wondering about the rates and whether the rates will be equivalent to the ones that are paid to in-state providers. I don't know the cost differences between facilities over the border or whatever.
The rates are negotiated by the counties. The counties have got, and so there's no, I don't have any information about how exactly they compare. I'm not aware that they are any higher or lower. I think really what's at issue here is that the counties will get some federal contributions to some of their costs there. The counties, obviously, if they feel they can get the same service for a much better price, and the counties have a cost share in this one way or the other, that they could pursue placement at an in-state facility. And because this is a county and federal share, there is no state cost in the provision of this care.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Norton, on the new language on page 16, in particular 16.14, may provide health benefits to employees, dependents, and other eligible persons. Representative, is the phrase other eligible persons defined anywhere, or is that left up to the governmental unit to define on its own?
Mr. Chair and Representative Duffin, I don't have an answer to that, and I have a union person who worked on the language in the room if you would like to hear their response.
If you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Mr. Chair, my name is Jason George with the Operating Engineering, Local 49. Could you repeat the question? I didn't quite hear it over there.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 16, line 14, there's a list of who the governmental units may pay health benefits to. It says employees, dependents, and then the phrase, and other eligible persons. My question is, in this part of statute, is the phrase other eligible persons defined, or are we leaving that up to each governmental unit to define?
Mr. Chair, I don't have a good answer to that question. I believe this follows with, I believe it's up to the county to define. I don't think it's defined, is my interpretation of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, I could, without having that information in front of us, you know, I'm inclined to move to strike it, but maybe Representative Norton can provide that information as we move forward.
I think we have Mr. Carlson ready to comment. If you could officially recognize or identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Keith Carlson with the Minnesota Intercounty Association. this provision is basically to address the union's concerns of an unpublished attorney general's opinion. Past practice, particularly I believe with regard to the Teamsters, in lieu of contributing to an employer-operated health plan, you contributed to the union's operated health plan. It's totally discretionary. It's per the collective bargaining agreement between the employer and the employee representative. You'll see on line 16.14 that the language is may. And then I would go on to say that this does not negate the state's current policy of not recognizing domestic partners for purposes of health care coverage. That would supersede any collective bargaining agreement that would indicate otherwise. So the employers just simply would not agree to that because it's contravening state law.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, Mr. Chair, I was not zeroing in on domestic partners. Otherwise, I would have mentioned domestic partners. We're talking about a very broad statement. It could be the neighbor, for goodness sakes. And I'm just wondering if that's what we're allowing to be at the negotiating table.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Biskins, again, this is not mandating that we do anything. It's discretionary. Again, it basically is allowing, pursuant to a collective bargaining agreement, a employer contribution to a union-operated health plan in lieu of an employer-operated health plan. It's not any deviation from past practices, but I will let the union representative speak.
Yeah, Mr. Allen, you want to add to the Mr. Carlson's comments? Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We already have 26 bargaining units, public bargaining units that are in our private fund, so this is current practice. This language is just clarifying that it is, in fact, legal. There was some dispute about that, and this is just comfort language. We're already doing it. We have been doing it for the last 20 years. There's been no issues with it.
Just one final point. You know, it seems to me interesting that we would on, in current law on line 16.11 and 12, we would very specifically define what a dependent is, and then we throw in and other eligible employees. You may as well just write the word dependent and say or other eligible persons and leave it at that. Otherwise, you know, we've got verbiage in statutes that's redundant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Allen or Representative Norton, I guess I don't want to spend too much time on this, but if we did now or later strike the word "other eligible persons," what would we be losing? What couldn't happen that is happening now?
Mr. Allen,
Mr. Chair, it's actually Mr. George. I'm Jason George is my name. Sorry.
Oh, excuse me.
My middle name's Allen, so you can't see it. I don't think it has any impact if we were to strike that line. I mean, that I can see. Like, as I said before, we've been doing this for 20 years. This language is just meant to clarify in law that the current practice is, in fact, legal and give comfort to the counties that what they're doing is okay.
Okay, any further discussion? Well, seeing then, none then, I'll renew the motion that House File 1276, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and place on the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And I apologize for using the wrong name, I guess. That's okay. For those of you that weren't in the room, Representative Norton held over 984 to be added to the agenda tomorrow. So we'll go to House File 2069 by Representative Liebeling. Is she here? Oh, yes, there we are. Okay, Representative Liebling, I guess Representative Huntley is not here, so the chair moves the Healthcare and Human Services Finance Division reports for House File 2069, the first committee engrossment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. The chair moves that House File 2069, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Representative Liebling, on the bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Good morning. This is kind of a good follow-up to Representative Norton's bill. This is another attempt to let counties work towards some flexibility and better delivery of services with more efficiency. And what this basically does, it's an agreed-upon bill between the Department of Human Services and NACSA, and Kelly Harder is here. He can talk about this a little bit more if the committee would like. But basically, it just sets up a framework for working together towards to have some pilot projects to try to find better ways of delivering chemical dependency services. So there should be no fiscal impact to the bill. It's been agreed upon. The language that's before the committee actually is a little bit different than the version that there is a version of this bill in the omnibus Health and Human Services bill. It's in conference committee right now. I think there's been some language accepted. There are minor differences, more or less technical, and we had actually thought we might have an amendment today to make it all consistent, but we, for various reasons, we didn't get that amendment, but we plan to do that to make it consistent. But as I say, it's really technical changes and nothing substantive. So if the committee would like to know more, I've got Kelly Harder here who could speak more about it. That's pretty much what we're doing in a nutshell.
Okay, any discussion on the bill? Well, seeing none, then the chair will renew my motion that House File 2069, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Representative Hilty was working on an amendment.
Even as we speak, Mr. Chair.
Oh, there he is. I didn't see you sitting there. Are you both, or?
Yes.
Okay. We do have the minutes, and Representative Biskins, were you here first again this morning?
Mr. Chair, I believe that Representative Smith and I fought our way at the door frame, and I did squeeze in ahead of him.
Okay. So would you like to move the minutes, Representative?
I certainly would, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the minutes of Wednesday, May 6th.
Okay. The motion is before us. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. I assume that was due to the maker of the motion. And it wasn't the work of Ms. Volkin.
Absolutely.
And Representative Hilty, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. This is House File 1744. Representative Hilty, would you care to move the division report?
I would, Mr. Chair, move the division report from the Energy Policy and Finance Division, House File 1744, the first committee engrossment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Hilty?
And Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 1744 of the first committee engrossment be recommended to pass and be referred to the committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, the motion is before us, and now Representative Hilty, I have a printed amendment here, the 0595, and then there's the
and Mr. Chair, what
second amendment, or are we amending? I didn't have a chance to talk to you. I just know you were huddling there, so I'm not sure where we are.
We'd need to amend the amendment, Mr. Chair, and I do have the language to do that. I think it could just be incorporated into the amendment. And
okay. I think it's all right, Mr. Hilke, when we have Mr. Marks explain what's happening, if that's all right with you.
I think that would be great.
Mr. Kane.
Mr. Marks. Mr. Chair, members, I need to check section number here, but it would add a new section that says, if enacted, House File 2123, Article 2, Section 3, Subdivision 8 is repealed. And what that is, if you look at Section 15 of the bill, there are appropriations here from the Telecommunications Access Minnesota Fund in the bill, not in the amendment. Those appropriations were also made in the Omnibus Environment and Energy Bill. What this is intended to do is replace the appropriation that was in the Omnibus Energy and Finance Bill, which is the reference I just read, with Section 15 of this bill. So instead of the $300,000 appropriations in the Omnibus Energy and Environment and Energy Bill, Section 15 would be effective, and that section, the previously passed section, would be repealed if it's enacted.
Okay, and so you're incorporating that language then into
your actually, I don't think that's quite right. I'm sorry.
It's not quite right?
Mr. Marks, the Section 8 of the finance bill, Subdivision 8, rather, to which you're referring, actually has two parts.
Yes.
And we only want to repeal the second part, not the whole thing.
Mr. Chair, then the amendment's going to be much more complicated, because it's going to have to actually reproduce that section and strike some language, I believe.
Representative Hilke, we could just add it to the agenda tomorrow if you need time to clean it up, or recess for a few moments. Do you have a suggestion? Just have a motion that you do the technical change. Is that what you're... Well, that would be appropriate, I guess, if people would agree. Representative Foles.
Mr. Chair, what is the motion right now? Where are we
setting? We have moved the bill, and some last-minute changes to the Kelsey amendment, so we have not moved the amendment yet.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I'm at the underlying bill. Was the motion to waive the means?
Yes.
Okay.
So was just suggested by House Research. Was we could adopt the amendment and then have a motion that they could make. We're dealing with a technical correction here, is what I understand. But now there's another conversation going on. Mr. Marks, please. Representative Cole, still another. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I guess, I want to defer to Representative Biskin as our lead here, but maybe it just makes the most sense to get the bill out of here without the amendment and put the amendment on in Ways and Means. I mean, I don't know, Representative Biskin, I don't want to...
Well, let's see where we're at. They were just cuddling a moment.
What's that? I voted against Representative Biskin's motion on the minutes, so now he's upset with me.
let me ask you, you were just huddling again. Have you got it straightened out? Representative Hilke, in terms of what needs to be done, or Mr. Martin?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Shepard has the language. What needs to be done is there were two $300,000 appropriations in the Environment and Energy Bill, and one of them needs to be stricken, and this would replace it. The other one doesn't. So it's not a matter of repealing the whole section or subdivision in that bill. So I guess at the staff level, we know what's going on, but we don't have the language in a form to reproduce it at this point.
Mr. Chair and members, I think there's a couple of choices for the committee. We could either fix this in the Ways and Means Committee, or I could suggest we could state the change narratively. In other words, to say if an appropriation from the Telecommunications Access Fund to the Commissioner of Commerce or a grant to the LCC for a pilot program is enacted in this, in Representative Hilsey's bill, it's repealed. And then that would describe the half of the subdivision that needs to be overridden here. So whatever the committee prefers, we can do whatever you'd like.
We would need to adopt this amendment.
Yeah.
And then we, I'm just not sure then about that second written amendment that, I don't know where that is now, but they, or I guess Ms. Mark has it up there. Or Mr. Shepherd has it back here, okay? The moving amendment.
But Mr. Chair?
Just 1 second. So let me ask a question to whether we move it to Ways and Means or not, or we correct it by authorizing staff to make a technical correction. Do we need to incorporate that into this amendment? I'm just trying to figure out what the procedure is that we need to follow here.
Mr. Chair, no, we would not necessarily need to incorporate it into this amendment. This amendment needs to be adopted.
So we would put this amendment on, and then we could authorize staff to make the necessary correction. Is that what? And you can read it in a minute. Okay. So let's move this amendment. But Representative Solberg, I just wanted the procedural point
sure.
where I was
or,
at.
If people feel
Solberg.
Comfortable, I think it is a technical or fiscal thing, that maybe feel become more comfortable doing it in Ways and Means.
I'm open to either one, but he said he's got the language now, so let's see what.
But
we have to put this amendment on. So,
Mr. Chair, I would move
the
adoption
amendment.
Of the 0595 amendment.
Okay, and if you could explain that amendment, well. We're working, or staff's working on that other amendment.
Mr. Chair, what this amendment does, the first part of the amendment basically adopts the language that has been previously adopted in the Senate. It just brings it into line with the Senate bill, and I believe that that's something that has been agreed upon by all of the concerned parties, which would the Office of Enterprise Technology, the Department of Administration, the Commission for the Deaf, Blind, and Hard of Hearing, and the and BEAD. The last part of this amendment, beginning on line 2.25, appropriates the money from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act to this project. This was something that had been agreed upon earlier by BEAD. Mr. Hamilton from BEAD is here to address that if necessary, but with this amendment, then this project would be fully funded, and it's just a question of everything is agreed upon at this point. It's just a question of getting the language right.
Okay. Any discussion then on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Now, Shepherd, are you ready? Okay, Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chairman, members, and I will give this in writing to Ms. Polkamp later, but what this amendment would do would add a new section 15 to House File 1744 that would read as follows. If a bill styled as House File 2123 is enacted in the 2009 regular session, the appropriation to the Commissioner of Commerce in Article 2, Section 3, Subdivision 8 of that bill is repealed. Okay. Double check for Representative Hilsey to make sure that that's what he wants. There, in Subdivision 8 of that bill, there are two appropriations. One is to the Commissioner of Human Services, and the other is to the Commissioner of Commerce. So this would refer only to the appropriation to the Commissioner of Commerce.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Shepherd, that's correct.
Representative Hilsey, would you care to move the amendment then?
Mr. Chair, I would move the amendment as articulated by Mr. Shepard.
Okay, the amendment is before us, and everybody follow then what's happening here. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Hilsey? Anything?
Mr. Chair, I believe that puts the bill at long last in the form that it needs to be. I don't think I really addressed what the bill does, but
where
I think most members at this point
got it in the form you wanted
are familiar.
Good job.
Are familiar with the bill anyway. What it does do, Mr. Chair, is sets the accessibility standards for state software and hardware and websites for the disability community, and it does add duties to the Office of Administration and Office of Enterprise Technology to see that these standards are implemented. It creates an advisory committee for 2 years that will help establish and review the process, and that's pretty much the bill. It's something that a number of other states have done. It's something that I think is badly needed in Minnesota, and I think that's pretty generally agreed upon in the Government Operations Committee. We had very compelling testimony from Representative Westrom about the difficulties that he has had in accessing public information that one would think certainly ought to be accessible to up to 10% or more of the population that does not really have access to public information. That's what the bill does. It's been difficult working out the language of the bill, but I think at long last we are there, and I appreciate the committee's support.
Hey, Rep. Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. I'm not sure who it's for, but the money in Section 15 in the bill right now is being appropriated from the Telecommunications Access Minnesota Fund. Is that a fund within the general fund, or is that outside the general fund? I'm just curious.
Representative Hilsey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, no, it's not. It's the Telephone Access Minnesota Fund. It's a fund that is established to provide access services to the disability community. It's funded by a surcharge on telephone bills. Currently, I believe, stands at 6 cents a month.
Representative Coles, again. Ready. Yeah, Representative Coles, were you done?
Yes.
Oh, Representative Grapple.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilsey, in the amendment where we have a definition of infrastructure hardware in Subdivision 4, and I understand the need for accessibility, but usually with non-customer-facing devices, or as the term is used in Subdivision 4, non-end-user platform devices, these are not customer-facing. This is the infrastructure that supports the system. And I guess I'm wondering, why would we have accessibility standards for the infrastructure? I understand for PCs and phones and end-user devices, but why would we have accessibility standards for the support mechanism?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, I think we'll ask Mr. Lawley from the Office of Enterprise Technology to address that question, if you don't mind.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is John Lawley. I'm with the Office of Enterprise Technology. The provision you're referring to is an exemption of those devices from the standards for the reasons that you described.
Sure. Thank you. construction ground floor, does that
perfect
satisfy what you're
fully informed and ready to develop?
Okay. Well, very good. I am as well. So I'll renew Representative Hilty's motion that House File 1744, the first committee in Grossman, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. A note here, if members could please remove House File 984 from your packets so we can use these copies when we take up the bill tomorrow. That's the one that Representative Norton asked to be removed from today's agenda and added to tomorrow. So with that, we meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., meeting adjourned.